Man's Stewardship. In our last lesson, we reviewed the fact that everything man has been divinely devised and handed to him by a beneficent Creator who is also Redeemer. And therefore man, since he did nothing about what he has except take it, is responsible for what he has, responsible to God and responsible to his fellow men. This week we are going to think of the stewardship, or how man discharges this responsibility. And the key text is the words of Christ himself: because the steward has been faithful in a few things, he will ultimately be made ruler of many things. Man's stewardship implies three things, three elements. There's an owner, who is God. There are entrusted goods, faculties, personality, material resources, time, that must be employed for the ultimate blessing and glory of the owner, who is God. And thirdly, the person to whom all this is entrusted. The owner, the goods entrusted, and the steward to whom these goods have been entrusted. The purpose of stewardship is then to glorify God. The first part deals with the primary good or resource that has been given to mankind. It is life. God giveth to all life. That is to say, breath. And with life, everything else comes. If we were not alive, we could do nothing, we could plan nothing, we could communicate nothing. The Bible goes out of its way in Ecclesiastes 9 to show that the dead cannot think, they cannot work, they cannot plan, they cannot love, they can do nothing. The 6th Psalm says they cannot even worship God. So when God gave man life, the sort of life that he gave to humanity, he put within him the ability to enjoy all things. What is our overall philosophy concerning life? What do we do with our lives? Adam and Eve were given the Garden of Eden, the whole earth, and life. When Adam realized what his wife had done in eating of the forbidden fruit, he debated whether he should obey God, and he was afraid then he would lose his beloved, or share in her sin and have her for time. And he chose to dispose of his life for personal satisfaction. I have my life, I have my dear one, I am going to share my life with my dear one. And so Adam's fall was a deliberate renunciation of the life that he should have lived in relationship to his Creator. Now, the mechanism of the human body is a very complicated thing. The beating of the heart, the taking of each breath, the throbbing of the pulse, every communicating nerve, every working muscle, every part of the body is kept in operation by the power of an ever-working God. God has revealed to man that there are certain things he should eat and drink, exercise and rest. Now man can abuse this. He can drink and eat and smoke, work and not exercise, and thus destroy himself. This is his choice. So what we do with our lives demonstrate whether God is the center or whether self is at the center. Part number two, we should be careful because God is the creator of the body, and we are only stewards of the body. The energy we use and the length of time in which we use it are not ours. We do not decide when we should be born or when we should die. Everything is in the hand of God. As Jesus said even on the cross, I commend my spirit. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So this body in which we live is one of the gifts of God. As the old Latins used to say, a sound mind in a sound body. The physical, mental faculties should be maintained to the optimum so that our thinking, our planning, our impulses, and our feelings all might be carried out to the glory of God. The misuse of the body, the abuse of our faculties, shortens our effective time of service. And the philosophy of the relationship of the body to God reaches its climax when Paul talked to the Corinthians about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Ghost. The highest use we can put to our bodies is so to live that the Holy Spirit dwells in them and uses our bodies gloriously to honor God and be a blessing to our fellow men. Part number 3, stewardship of time. We live in time. Time is that section of eternity entrusted to man in which he can prepare for eternity. We don't have many years, perhaps 80 years, by reason of strength, 80, but very few people live to be 100. The expectation of life in the world, I suppose, is about 50. What are we doing with the 50 years that have been entrusted to us? As David sang, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We've got to relate ourselves to time in such a way that we value it. We've got 6 days for this week to labor and do all our work. And then the 7th day comes when we cannot work. This can be looked at in another way. Work while it is called today, for the night of silence and death cometh when no man can work. And so the expression, redeeming the time for the days are evil, becomes all the more important. How do we use our time? Moments treasured, employed with useful labor, productive thought, kindly deeds, redound to the glory and the peace of man, the blessing of his fellow men, and honoring of God. Part number 4, we are stewards of all sorts of abilities that God has given to us. In the Garden of Eden, God entrusted to man skills and abilities and attitudes and resources. And throughout the ages, God still entrusts to man abilities and resources. How do we use them? Again, if I may call attention to Paul's statement, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Here is a young man or young woman with a beautiful voice. He didn't do anything about it. He suddenly woke up one day and discovered he had it. Somebody else is a brilliant pianist. Another person could practice for 1,000 years and never attain his skill. God has given him ability. Then there's the artist, and the cook, and the craftsman. Many kinds of skills. As we contemplate them, we should ask ourselves, what am I doing with all these faculties that God has given to me? Am I using them to bless my fellow men and to glorify God? Or am I only using them to gain material wealth for myself? If that is my motive, then I will be frustrated and true happiness will elude me. Part number 5, material possessions. Money, houses, lands, all these material things are given to us to see what kind of stewards we have. Some people have more, maybe 10 talents, 5 talents. Some people have less, 2 talents. At the end of life, The man who had two wound up with four, fewer than somebody else had started with. Sometimes we work on an hourly basis. Sometimes we inherit a fortune. What do we do with the material resources that God has given to us? Beware of covetousness, Jesus said. What is covetousness? Covetousness is wanting inordinately that which belongs to somebody else. It's all right to want a house and to work toward it. But when I want a house that belongs to somebody else, then I'm covetous. It's all right to want a wife. But when I want somebody else's wife, then I am not only covetous, but I am adulterous in my mind. Material resources have been entrusted to man to see what character he has, what relationship he displays to these existing circumstances. Part number 6, tested by God. We make the last step very easily. All these resources of times and abilities and things have been given to the stewards to test their faithfulness. What did Adam and Eve do with the resources that were given to them? When Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, what did they do with the resources that they suddenly found in their hands? When Israel was given the promised land, they became so exclusive that they used all God's resources for themselves. And that ability to choose, the freedom of choice, of what we should do with the things God has given to us, indicates our stewardship and the quality of our character. Therefore, we should pray, Lord, search me and try my ways, and tell me how I am relating myself to Thee and to the resources Thou hast given to me. What sort of steward am I? Selfish? Indolent, lazy, looking only to my personal advantage? Or am I realizing that everything belongs to Thee, and am I saying, may I be faithful and prove a blessing to my fellow men?